Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is in an upright and locked position, and that you are ready to get weird and think different. Please prepare for takeoff. Today is Wednesday. It is May 12th. We're back. Another episode of Destination Different. I figured I'd start off this week by giving you all a little update on my TikTok situation. So if you've been following along in the last few episodes, I embarked a month ago, almost exactly to the day, on a 30-day TikTok challenge where I would make a video every single day for 30 days. So I just wrapped that up. I figured, you know, I'd come back in here and give you the recap. So everybody's been telling me, you know, you got to get on TikTok. You're going to go viral. You're going to be able to do this. Like, everybody's having success on TikTok. And so I figured, all right, I'm missing out here. I got to give this a try. If nothing else, it'll be good practice of making videos, of talking to camera, and we'll see how it goes. So after a month of doing this, I did not go viral. There was nothing viral about it. I did not shake my ass on camera, for the record, yet. Yet is the key word. But I did have a lot of fun. It is unlike any other social platform I've ever been on. It is carefree. I don't feel like I have to impress anybody. It's very much just like shoot it, post it. That's it. There's not too much thought that goes into it. Whereas I feel like Instagram, Twitter, some of these other platforms, you really have to like curate your thoughts. You have to be a little bit more polished, and TikTok is none of that. So that part I really enjoyed. A few facts and figures of the month that was. So day one of the entire challenge, when I announced the challenge, was my biggest view count of any video. I think it came in at like 610 or something like that. Biggest video of the month. Lowest video of the month. I had one video that got 13 views, just didn't even get remotely caught in the crazy, ambiguous TikTok algorithm. 13 views. Then I would say almost half, I mean, it felt like all of my videos were somewhere between 150 and 200 views. Like they'd kind of get the exact same amount of momentum. Certain videos got a few more likes than others and a handful got some comments, but for the most part, it was, everything was between 150 and 200 views, and it was just kind of there. Like nothing really, not much to it, not a ton of comment activity, didn't seem like people were sharing any of the videos. So mostly in that same range. I did, however, go from, I believe, 12 followers at the start of the challenge to now 49 followers at the start of the challenge, which I would say, all things considered, is if my math is correct there, that's almost quadrupling in 30 days. So if we can keep up a quadruple pace for the next month, we'd be in good shape. But anyways, I just want to give an update on that. I've been having fun with it. If you're not already following Destination Different over on TikTok, if you're not on TikTok, I highly recommend you just get on. You don't even have to follow me. But if you are over there, check out at Destination Different on TikTok and see what I'm up to. I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to keep trying to make some videos over on TikTok and see what we learn. So that's that. It takes me nicely into our guest from this week, who I have now known for a while. We were good friends, but I had just recently started to catch up again with some of her work on TikTok and on Instagram. And she was posting some Instagram reels. And I was like, oh my God, I love what she's doing with her art. And so the guest on this week's show is Haley Badovinic. I hope I said that right. And she is an insanely talented artist. She does art across a wide variety of things. We talked a lot about in the show about what's her favorite medium. She's been deep into watercolor recently, but she does oil painting. She's done some acrylics. We talked about experimenting with funky textures from real life where she'll sprinkle salt on a painting. And so she dabbles in a little bit of everything, but she's crazy talented. And her style, if I had to describe it, is she takes a super unique approach to color. And if you look up this episode, if you check out her Instagram in the description here, you can really see what I'm talking about. But she does these amazing portraits. She focuses on eyes. She focuses on things from nature, and everything is in this beautiful, bright, bold colors. Nothing is like as it seems to the naked eye. And so I love that about her and her style. And we had an awesome conversation about how she's now gotten back into art. And she, for a long time, has done some freelance design work where she's more of like a UX designer. And over the last few months, she's really consciously made the decision that she wants to push to make art her full-time career and her full-time livelihood. And so we talked a lot about that and that transition that she's going through and how she builds and makes her art. And if you've ever done anything creative, this is an awesome conversation for anybody who is going from a 9-to-5, a real job, quote unquote, to now moving into the creative world. And so with that, I will shut up and kick it over to the episode. But I hope that you enjoy this week's interview with my dear friend Honeybee Haley on this week's episode of Destination Different. Hope you enjoy.
This thing, and it was supposed to be like really, really, you know, deep and in depth and all this stuff. And so it was about like the inner innocence of a child, and it was for an art class in college when I was going to see you. And you know, it was this like really strict art teacher, and I remember painting this child and like putting it into this kind of like vacuum almost, or like a cave, and it was like, oh, no matter what, you have like the inner innocence of a child. Everyone thought it represented a vagina. Everyone was like, the kid's creepy, like this is the most terrifying thing you've ever made. And I mean, I definitely could see that now looking back. I think I got like a B okay. plus, but yeah,
it passed the test, but it was maybe, you know, not what you intended it to be.
No.
I did see you, you may have maybe posted something somewhere that you talked about like making a lot of ugly art and like, you know, making that part of your process. So tell me about that and like how you think about things that maybe turn out like shit or that are not great. Like, what is your approach to that?
I think right now I'm still like, I'm always going to be in some form of self-discovery mode. I know that I love painting and I like want to stay kind of with the portraits and stuff. But there's sometimes where I feel like I do a throwaway piece, even 2 to 3 throwaway pieces before I get into it, because if I'm coming at it with like a ton of intensity and energy, I most likely will mess it up. So I feel like just having, just throwaway pieces. And I actually, the last thing that I did when I was going through a creative block, I had cracked an egg and I put dye in it. And I dipped just like random loose papers in that and then let it dry. And then from there, I'd kind of find like shapes. So I made like a gorilla or I made a mermaid and kind of just found within the natural way the colors went, just like shapes with that. And that was a really cool just getting started exercise. But a lot of those were kind of ugly.
Okay. So explain, like a throwaway piece would just be like you have no sort of intention of like this is going to be this. Do you just sort of like sit down on a blank canvas and you're like, whatever this ends up being, that's like a throwaway piece?
Yeah, I would say I usually don't. I'm like pretty like a cheap artist, so I usually don't use canvases of the throwaway stuff, but just like papers and stuff like that are like the throwaway. And that kind of is like I'm still developing a certain style, and I'm still developing kind of like whatever this theme is. And so it's almost like a sketch that you just kind of throw away. And then a lot of times, you know, I get in trouble for throwing things away, being like, you know, a perfectionist sometimes. And people are like, no, I want that. I'm like, no, I'm going to throw it away. It's okay. I'll make you another one. And sometimes people will want that stuff too.
They want the throwaway pieces with the final product.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about, you know, finding your style and figuring it out. Like, how would you sort of, I guess to start, how would you describe your current style and like what is your sort of artistic approach?
Yeah, so my current style right now is Like, and I think it just came back to like studying, I went to school for advertising and art and, I've done product design. And so all of these things kind of came into play with it, but I really love color theory and I really love how color, affects your emotions. And so just trying to like push the limits of color is kind of the overarching theme. And then within that, focusing on the portrait and the female figure and like the eye, and just like all these very kind of like vulnerable aspects of a person.
I love your like approach to colors. Like I think it's so fascinating to see. Like you almost never, or at least not that I've seen, do anything that's like straight up, this is, I'm looking at you, you're painting your dark hair. Like it's never like that. Like, do you ever do anything in like the realistic realm, or do you always like kind of pushing those color boundaries?
Yeah, I think like every now and then I'll want to just brush up on realism. And I'll do, when I do that, I'll work a lot with charcoals because it like there's no color in it. It forces me to actually be good at the figure and not just kind of have fun with color. And so it's definitely a different feel. And I'll do those, like a couple times a month or so, but nothing too major. And it's more, I feel like it's like a different type of art at that point. It's like I come in with like a different mindset and a different mood, and it's more to like learn and grow. And then I take that and just apply that to like the fun stuff.
Got
So,
it. Okay.
yeah.
At what point, at what point did you know that you were a good artist? Like, were you always artistic as a kid, or like, when does that happen? Like, were you like, the 4-year-old who like has these beautiful paintings that your dad's hanging up on the
Yeah,
wall? Like, how did
definitely that category. I feel like I always loved art. I was always up late with crayons, like since I can remember, just like painting and like supposed to be asleep. And the first moment I think I realized that I was good at art was in fourth grade. And I don't know if you had those art shows, but we would have art shows, and I'd always make sure that I'd sign up for like the art class, and you had like Spanish or whatever, and I'd always do the art classes every time. And so we had our art up, and I remember getting a yellow ribbon, and I was just like so proud of it. And I was like, this feels great, like let's go. And as soon as I think I gained a little bit of confidence, then I just kind of kept going from there. So
It was all in.
yeah.
And like, did you continue like taking classes and like working that way, or was it more self-taught discovery? You're painting with, you're using crayons at home. Like, how was that balance of like teaching yourself first, but also like learning from professionals, learning from teachers,
Yeah.
whoever?
So I think I've always done the art lessons up until like high school. And I had actually like a local art teacher who taught me from like fourth grade to like even up until high school. So she was really, really fantastic. And that was just kind of like I never really thought I could like do something with it. That was just kind of like the learning phase. And then I feel like a really vivid memory that stands out was when I studied abroad in Florence, and I had some really incredible teachers, and I was taking mostly just taking a step back from advertising and really focusing for those 6 months on oil painting. And the teacher there was just a super great teacher, like how she described like mixing the oil paints and layering it and like the way lights hits and just studying from like the Italian Renaissance methods and like doing like linseed and kind of understanding. I think the coolest part was just understanding how pigment made and like how they would crush beetles and how they would have all these things
Wait,
that
hold on. They crush beetles. Tell me, what is that?
so yeah, and for a while it was in makeup too. So for like the color red, the shell would be like crushed with a mortar and pestle, and then you'd mix the linseed oil in it and you'd add the pigmentation, and from there you'd make your art with it. So they use like materials from a lot of like foods and flowers and stuff at first, and there's like a whole wave of now like organic artists that are trying to like bring it back right now, which is kind of cool.
Did I see you did something recently with like makeup maybe that you were painting with makeup or something. Sorry, I've
I
thoroughly stalked you. Like, this is part of my prep.
was like, you're good. You're
I do the
good. You're
full
really
research. I do
good.
the full, social media stalking. But yes, I did see you did something with makeup recently.
Yes, I did. I like seeing, like, I've done stuff with like salt and makeup and just the makeup one, it was colored pencil, and then I put kind of eyeliner on it. It's probably the same eyeliner that I have on, to be honest. I don't know how bad that is. But yeah, I wanted to get kind of like a really intense like black to contrast the saturation. So once I did the color pencil, which is also a watercolor pencil, I added like the makeup as kind of like the outline of the figure in the face and just kind of made it pop. Yeah, it was pretty fun. Makeup's like, it actually can work for paint.
I was gonna say, you can kind of treat it like an ink, like a pen type of treatment, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's a great brush pen.
Is there anything that you're excited to try, or like a medium that, like, again, like experiment with, whether it's makeup, or are there other things that you're like, oh, I would love to do XYZ?
Yeah, I feel like something with light could be really cool. Like painting on a light and having the negative space be like the highlights would be awesome. I did like a charcoal and art painting that had salt like cracked onto it, and it looked almost like stars coming out of her. And so I feel like having just like those natural elements, like I would love to do a series of charcoal with like crushed salt, but I need to figure out how to get it to stick. So if you have any tip on that, that would be great because that's what I'm struggling with. I had this beautiful painting, and then of course I like sneezed or something, and it just all the salt went everywhere. So
Okay. All right. So we're going to experiment a little bit. Like, do you? I always like asking this of artists because I think everybody has a wildly different answer. Do you have sort of a, like, I'm going to go and do this today. I'm going to go and sit down. I want to work on a portrait of this. Like, what does sort of your day look like, and how do you think about, like, what the next thing is that you're going to paint or that you're going to make? Is and you just said, like, oh, I would love to do a series with charcoal and salt. Like, do you sit out and you're like, okay, these 2 weeks I'm going to do my charcoal and salt, series?
Yeah, I've tried, like I feel like I have such a business-oriented brain and such an artistic-oriented brain that they clash sometimes. And so what I've been doing lately is time blocking my calendar. So the first bit of the day, because I still do freelance design. So the first bit of the day, I'll do kind of like meetings and kind of 3 hours of design work. And then from there, I'll probably like take a break and get a little inspired, go outside, kind of like think about the theme and like meditate on it for, 10, 20 minutes. And then like towards the end of the day when the lighting is prime, that's when I usually will do the painting. But I'd love to get to a place where it's like, blocks of 6 hours at a time. But because I'm in this kind of career change phase of like really doing this full time, right now I'm like building a Squarespace and getting clients and, gaining social media and, making videos. And so a lot of it, I think this is kind of just balancing both of those. But when I do go into the painting, I usually like feel an emotion and just vibe off that and be like, how can I do this in a different way? Or, with the face, it's like how, maybe it's a certain color that's real. I'm like, I really love the color of my matcha. I want to do a painting around just like the color and the peacefulness of matcha. And then I bring that into the painting. So it's really simple. It's probably like one thing that can inspire me on any given day.
And so are you working on, like, multiple pieces at one time, or are you sort of like, I'm going to do this one and I'm going to do it till it's totally done, and then I'm going to start the next one? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so there's times where I'm working on three pieces at once, but most of the time I'm like all in on a painting, unless it takes a while to dry. But right now, since I've been doing watercolor, it's very quick to dry, and I'm usually just like hyper focused on one painting, which is kind of nice. And just, yeah, it's good. But I think, as I start selling more stuff, like the like eye paintings have been working out really well, that I'll probably do like five at a time and just do those all at once because I have like the mix of colors right there.
Right,
So I
like
can just
getting
be
the
like,
rhythm
oh,
of
this
it.
goes here and
Yeah.
this goes here.
That's great. I'm wondering too, like, because I think a lot of again, I think like people who are like not artistic, who are envious of artists, are always curious, like, how long does a piece take? And I'm sure for you it varies a lot, depending on if it's watercolor and it dries super quick, if it's oil, it might, you have to layer it, whatever. But on say, what is sort of the range of how long one of these, standard pieces can take for you?
Yeah, so I would say I'm actually like a weirdly fast painter. I don't know. I don't think I have the patience to do like 2 year painting. I'd love to get to that point, but that's just not me right now.
Yeah.
And I would say that usually a painting takes me anywhere from a day to a week. And so I can either, finish something that's pretty a small watercolor and that will just be like one sitting, which are really great. And then other times, if they're larger, it'll take up to about a week or two. But once I'm in it and I'm really feeling good about it, I'm like, I have tunnel vision on other
Yeah, you can
things.
like see the end product. I want to ask you about your design work and like, you still are doing, it sounds like you're still doing some freelance design stuff. Like, how do those two worlds merge together? Like, what do you take from your sort of like design background and put into your art and maybe vice versa?
Yeah, I think like even what I'm doing with design right now, it's really, really fun. I'm working for like a startup who's making a website for artists right now, and that's like my primary client. So I'm pretty much like designing a website to be like eventually on it, which is really cool. So it definitely was a great fit. But that's not always the case. Sometimes I just do it to, support my art. And sometimes, there's a good balance, but I've really been enjoying, I've been doing these like geometric illustrations lately. And I feel like that on a website for like a landing page has been really fun. So they're like little mini artists
Oh, I
or,
saw those little like character type things, right?
And so I think, that also plays into like contrast and sense of light. So like if you're looking at like a font and the background is like the shade of blue, that like also you're like, oh, that looks good. And I think the color and the contrast really does parallel really nicely with the art. And then yeah.
And like you mentioned you have like you have a business brain as well. Like, how have you taken that into now your approach to being like a full-time artist, like a full-time, business really for yourself?
Yeah, so I've been really into like analytics. And so, I was previously had worked with like data scientists and have worked at like, AI startups and stuff like that. And so everyone is like so into data. And I was like, well, this is really cool. I should probably apply this to myself. And I hadn't for so many years. I was like, oh, I'll just post a painting and do all this stuff. But, I've been really looking at like, just building a social media presence and like seeing, what time people are on and what, looking at the people who are like paving the way and like leading the charge in kind of this colorful portrait field and these artists that I look up to and seeing what their audience is like and just seeing kind of like how engaged they are. So really just kind of analyzing all of that and like looking at the psychology behind it has been really interesting for me.
Okay. Are there artists specifically that you like, idolize or that you sort of build your style off of? Like, are there particular ones that you really find as like inspiration?
Lately I've been really obsessed with this chick, Chloe Wise, because she does oil paint and portraits, which is really cool, but she's super weird. And like just has this cool personality. And the other day I was like on social media, just looking at Instagram, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. And she made lettuce chandeliers with like, I don't know, she glued lettuce on a chandelier. And it got like 50,000 likes just like that. And I was like, you know what? That's really cool. You can just do whatever you want because you've established yourself as this like oil painter, portrait artist, but you can still have fun and play. And I really, really admire artists who do that and just like show their full personality. And I think a lot of times people are just like so behind the scenes and want their art to really speak for themselves. But I'm kind of a person who wants to be like, you know, involved and active in the community. And I really, yeah, I look up to her for that.
Okay. And I have noticed, like, I feel like in the last, I don't know at what point now, like you just started your own, like you have like an art Instagram account now. Like, how has that been of sort of like building this, you know, you're making videos, you're kind of like, you know, filming yourself, you're creating content around your art. Like, how has that gone? And what sort of traction have you been able to build with that so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane the amount of eyeballs you can get from like one video in like a day. You're like, whoa, like I've never before had like 1500 eyes just on this thing that, you know, took me a little bit to make. And so I think right now it's just about playing and just seeing how it goes. And I was struggling with whether or not to make this art page. And I kept going back and forth on it. And I think a lot of my like personal account just has like a lot of my past and my story, but doesn't focus full center on the art. And I was like, if I'm going to go all in, I'm going to go all in. I want to start fresh and not use like the existing followers and just see like who comes along for the journey. And it's been really good so far. It's like a slow burn, you know, but it's been good. I'm excited.
And are you enjoying that like content capturing piece of it as well? Like obviously there's the making of the art itself, but then it's almost like a secondary art of making the little video or the little, you know, like capturing a photo of your art. Like how has that been? Are you in, like, do you enjoy that or is it cumbersome?
It's a bit of both right now because I'm still in the learning process, but it's super fun. And I feel like my like advertising side and the art direction can really come out and play. I mean, we'll see where it goes. Like, I think it's just, you know, I'm also playing around with like TikTok too, and just seeing like what people are there. And I mean, at the end of the day, like it can get you out of your flow state a little bit, but I really like that, like your story can inspire people. And so I just, as long as I can stay true to that, and even if the flow state is not completely there, it usually works out okay. And it's not like too much time or anything like
that. Yeah. And is it like disruptive in the sense it's like, all right, I'm painting this, but now I got to stop and like take a video of me painting this. Like, is that,
I don't even, I wish I could show you my phone because my phone is like, I have so much paint on it. And like, this is my phone right now. And so this is what happens. It's like, I'm taking videos and then I have a messy phone and it's just, yeah, so it definitely gets you a bit out of the flow, but I got the stand. And so I just kind of take time lapses, which is really easy. But sometimes with how the stand is, the play of the shadow, depending on the time of day, it's like in your painting. So still working out the kinks with that. I think there's a lot of awesome videographers in LA. And it's like, you know, maybe I was talking to a friend and just seeing if you could like, you know, come by for like 30 minutes and just do some shots and stuff. And like, that will at least get me to stay in flow state and then just have that be available, which would be really cool.
Yeah. Somebody that's sort of just like a fly on the wall as you're going about your business.
Yeah.
Do you have like a setup, like, you know, that you're like, this is where I paint, this is my spot and this is where I sit, or like, how do you figure that piece out? Like, do you have a studio at this point? What does that start to look like?
No, I'm a very, so I'm moving into my place within a month. We're just seeing when the availability is. So I've made so many mini studios because I was traveling since Thanksgiving. So every time, it was basically remote year all over again.
Yeah.
And so every time I've just kind of have like a little desk and then just make that like my makeshift studio. But when I was staying at my friend's, I was like all in on the painting side for that month. And this was about 2 months ago. And she had just got this place and I was there for a month and she was away for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put so much tarp down. I was like, I can't get this place dirty. It's like so nice. I'm just going to put all the tarp down. I like duct taped like everything to the walls. And then I kind of went crazy after that. But yeah, I'm really excited to be able to have kind of like a set space mm-hmm. in the next month.
Do you like, this may be a silly question, are you like standing up, are you sitting down, like are you holding a, like how, what is your sort of like that situation start to look like?
Yeah, so I did the whole paint smock, but now I have designated like outfits, you know, that I wear that will have paint on them, and then once they get paint on them to the point of no return, I'm like, well, that's a paint outfit. So I usually try not to wear nice things.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a watercolor, it really depends on the paint. So for a watercolor, because it's more like flowy and slow, and you have to be a bit more kind of purposeful with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less expressive and gestury. I sit at a desk and I usually light a candle and like have a good like tea by my side and some good tunes. So that's the vibe for watercolor. Mm-hmm. And then for like acrylic paint, I usually will sketch also at the desk and like mm-hmm. do a little outline with like a pencil or whatever I have to just do like the base structure of it. And then I'm standing up like full out in like a painting outfit because I'm messy, and that is like way more expressive. And so I just kind of go from there with the acrylic. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have, is there like a favorite medium that you have, or does it change by the day?
Right now I really like watercolor. I never thought I would, but actually it's so funny. So I had a great aunt Phil from Oklahoma.
Great aunt Phil from Oklahoma.
Yeah. She was awesome. So she had like her own little studio in an only left-handed other left-handed person in the family. And she like had this studio and just would go out there and paint. And she was a watercolor artist. And I had no idea like how many paintings she had actually done. But I was really inspired. She had this like beautiful realistic corn that she drew. And I actually took it with me while I was moving because I'm like, this is going to inspire me to keep going mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And I think I was like, you know what? Looking at the painting, it looked really awesome that it kind of wanted, I just wanted to try watercolor. And mm-hmm. so usually I've been like an oil and acrylic, but I'm kind of moving more into the watercolor world right now. So.
Okay.
We'll see what it is next month.
It might be salt and charcoal. We don't know.
Makeup, you know.
Yeah, needles. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm curious a little bit as well of, I don't know if it was like was there one moment that you said to yourself, like, I want to go all in on this. I want this to be like full time. I want to be an artist. Like, did that all strike at once, or was it slowly building over time that this kind of came?
Yeah. So it's very tempting to go back into product design, like to go full time. Like, it's very steady. It's very safe. It's like, I'm good at it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But something inside me after this last, I did a contract job with a client, the startup, and, you know, it was supposed to be part time. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I want to work 5 days a week or 5 hours a week. And just kind of balance that with art. And of course I'm working at the startup like 10 hours
right.
a day and like working on weekends. And I was like, there, to me, like if I'm working for someone else, there'll never be that balance. As much as I'm trying to put up boundaries, though, it just mm-hmm. won't happen. And so, yeah, I just, after that, it was super high stress. I was like, I watched Social Dilemma. Wow. Like, I don't want to be in this in like 10 years from now, like making AI. And it just wasn't, you know, I think it's kind of like soul crushing in a way. Like, it's like you're pixel pushing
mm-hmm.
and there's so much that goes into it that it takes the fun out of design. So at that point, I, you know, finished my contract and I'm like, I can't, I do not want to look for a job. I was just so burnt out. I felt like working from home was like this totally new kind of layer of it, because I really like enjoy the people. Mm-hmm. And I think taking the people out of it was really hard and just opened up why that I'm like, you know, wanting a career change.
Yeah.
So that was 3 months ago.
Okay.
So it's very new.
Fairly recent. Yeah. I feel like you've really like picked up steam here in the last couple months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I'm like, you know what, it's about time. I'm, you know, almost, I mean, not almost 30, but I like to say that to add dramatic effect. And I was like, you know, I just got to do something for myself. So, yeah.
And tell me a little bit about like how you're thinking about sort of building your art as a business, like as a career of selling your, you know, are you going to sell prints? Are you selling originals? Mm-hmm. Are you doing commissions? Like, how are you starting to think about that piece? Yeah. And have you already started selling stuff? Like how has that gone?
Yeah. So I'm like trying to catch up with like, okay, I have this set style and then I want to sell things, but really like people are, you know, I shipped 3 paintings the other day and just sold like a big 3-foot print and framed it. And so prints are going really well. The faces are going really well. And so it's really nice, but there's growing pains when starting a new business. Like the framing was such a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Like I nearly broke it 100 times and like jammed my finger. And I was like, okay, some way to avoid this would be great. And then the cost of shipping is like $60. So right now it's like just kind of like the try and play mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think what's going to really help in the future is just getting a big audience, getting my name out there so that, you know, I can, instead of just doing it to people who I'm friends with, like just increasing the prices like over time, which mm-hmm. will be really great. And it'll just increase the value. And then I also kind of want to like make some product with it, just because I love like the product and business side. So mm-hmm. whether that be, you know, some paints or paint brushes, I've just been kind of like looking into that and stuff. So
would that be yeah. like it would be like Haley's paint set, like that you would like sell your own like kind of custom kit? That's cool.
Yeah. 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 So I think, yeah, just seeing where that goes. I think that would be like a year down the line. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to just focus on like just getting like all these avenues out and seeing what works mm-hmm. and then selling prints, because, you know, you can always get more prints, which is great.
Yeah. How do you think about pricing your art? I know that's always like a sticky thing with artists. It's like so hard to, you know I'm going to charge X for this. Like, how have you started to shape now that you've been selling, you know, some prints and some framed things? Like, what are you doing for that?
Yeah. So I actually, I've been trying not to undervalue my work. And so it's tricky because you want people to have access to it and to feel good about this purchase, but you also want to like value yourself mm-hmm. and your work. So it's that fine balance. And so I typically, price it, you know, I add like additional X amount for like, if it's framed or like mm-hmm. the size. So the sizing comes into play. And for like a set face that I do, those colored watercolor ones, like I have a set price, a fixed price for that. So I felt, you know, once I got the price that I felt good about, I was like, okay, this is the fixed price. I'm not going to deviate from that mm-hmm. and just go from there. So that felt really good. And I think getting to a place where I just have fixed prices for the size of the canvas is going to be really great.
Got it. Yeah. And then you can do custom stuff. If like, is that something you'd want to do as well, as people could come to you and be like, I want you to paint this? Or do you want to sort of have control over like, I'm going to make what I'm going to make, and if you like it, you like it? Or do you yeah. want to do commissions, or I'm going to tell you to make me a this thing and you do it? Like, how are you thinking about that?
I'm like so done with commissions right now. Like, it's like, can you paint me like I know you do art. Can you paint me a Ninja Turtle for my cousin's 5th birthday party? And I'm like, no, like absolutely yeah. not.
I don't do Ninja Turtles.
Like, I don't even want to do that for like $500. Like, that just like hurts my like heart. So I've been trying to just like stick to my like core style. And then if someone's like, I love this, can you do it in blue? Or can you do this, but add another whatever? Like, I would do that customization for it. But I think just staying within my style, because I get a lot of, as an artist, you're going to get a lot of people who want free stuff from you, who want random paintings that like have nothing to do with your style. And you just gotta, you know, learn to say no and stay true to like who you are and what you're kind of, what makes you happy.
So, yeah. You do a lot of portraits. And so how does that go? Like, is there pressure with painting somebody's face or their body? Like how is that when somebody's like, here's a picture of me. Can you go ahead, go run wild?
Yeah. Yeah. I've run into some, especially as a starting artist, I'm like, oh no, like, I hope they like this. And you know, you get nervous. And I think now it's gotten easier over time. But like, it's always weird when like people love colorful abstract faces, but when it's their face, like I did the one of my brother, and it's like, he has, you know, leaves coming out of him. I was like, yeah, like, do you want to print? He was like, you know, it's kind of weird if I like put this up, but I really want to give one to like my boyfriend to have. So it's when it's the actual person, it gets kind of interesting. But yeah, I've had like a situation where I got this portrait and, or this picture, and it was for like kind of like a high profile, like a friend's mom.
Yeah.
She wanted it in her office, and she was a lawyer from Kazakhstan. And so it was going to be shipped to Kazakhstan. And I was like, I really hope I don't fuck this up. Like, this is like
a lot of pressure,
a lot of pressure right now. But luckily she liked it. So it was good.
That's good. Do you find yourself, I always wonder this about people who like paint portraits in real life, like staring at people's faces and like analyzing them, like, oh, that would be tough to paint. Or that would be like, do you find yourself in real life doing that?
Yeah. I just can't turn off the paint brain. You know, I'm like, oh, but this, the colors here, it looks so great. Or like, you know, if there's like really good lighting on a friend and we're like at dinner, I'm just like, wow, like I'm just analyzing like the lighting on the nose and I look like such a weirdo. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Okay. I was curious if people who like paint portraits, are you just like staring at people's noses and eyes all the time?
Yeah, all the time. And when I find like even just in photos, like I have this ongoing like Pinterest of reference photos. And I feel like there's all these unique faces with, you know, cool eyes. And I'm always looking for kind of reference photos. But what I tend to find is that people who are close to me, like I just give more to the painting. And I love knowing the person because it just like, it's such a deeper level of understanding what this portrait is going to be about.
Yeah. Do you, speaking of the reference thing, do you always paint from like reference photos? Do you ever do stuff that you're like painting from real life? Like whatever that might be, like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So I've tried like the plein air, and usually I'll do that stuff from just like looking at something. And I think like, I always want to just like get the anatomy right, because I feel like that's like the first thing I can do. So I usually, if it's not like a direct photo of that, like the anatomy, like I'll take on like multiple references and just go from there. So it's like, you know, if it's a hand from somewhere and I need that, then I'll just have that and then kind of add that to the thing. But what also really helps is I do Photoshop. So with like some of the portraits, or, you know, like removing things or kind of manipulating the photo. Sometimes if it's like a really big acrylic piece that I want to spend like a good amount of time on, I'll just make like a very accurate reference photo, and that can be like anything you want. So that actually really helps. And then,
so you'll create the reference photo in Photoshop. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Create the reference photo in Photoshop, create the composition, you know, there's one with this like woman, and she has like planets around her based on like her sign, as like a reference. And yeah, I mean, like it's just stuff like that. And then it's really nice because you can eyedropper it and you can mix the color based on that like palette right there. So it's good.
Okay. I always like to ask this as a question, because hopefully someday one of these is going to land and it's going to be like, you heard it here first. So if there was any person that you could have a massive painting that you've done hanging in their home, could be a celebrity, could be a musician, could be a friend, could be an athlete, could be anybody. Is there somebody that you're like, oh, I would love to hang my painting in their house?
Yeah. yeah. So this is like, so, I mean, it's not like, okay, so Billie Eilish, I just watched her documentary. I mean, everyone's painting of her, but if like I could get in with that, or like just someone kind of like quirky or fun, like Snoop Dogg, like, I don't know, like people Snoop like that Dogg, would be I like awesome. That. Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun. But I actually like will fangirl people sometimes, like starting out. So I have this blogger that I follow who's like into like health and wellness and spirituality. And I tagged her in my last thing and she's like, wow, that's so beautiful. And as soon as she did, I just got so excited. And like, I know it's like not Billie Eilish, but it's, you know, this person who's established and really great. And I was like, hey, like, that's so cool. You like it. Can I send this to you for free? And like, so now I'm going to be sending her a self-portrait and she's just going to have it. And it's just something that I kind of want to just try and do just to get stuff out there.
Yeah. So that you're going to want to make that more of like an ongoing thing of like, I like you. I like this. Like, can I send you something?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Okay. Switching gears kind of wildly all over the place here, but this is like, I'm curious for you. I know you've like worked with like Lyme disease for a long time, has been part of your story and has been part of what you do. Like, how has painting been affected by that? Or how has like painting kind of been a cure to that in some ways? Cause I know that's like something that's like deeply affected your life. But I'm curious how that has like,
you know, yeah,
painting world.
Yeah. So I think with Lyme disease, there was a point where I felt like I was really sick and I'd stopped painting. And I was like, I just want to get through the day and like, you know, make sure that I'm low pain today. And, you know, it was rough for a while, but I realized that by not letting myself paint in those times of like, you know, really hard times or times of need, that was actually hurting me. Mm-hmm. And that I just needed, like, movement has been such a like huge play in my life, like even like dancing or doing yoga or kind of incorporating, you know, just moving with like the painting and all of that. It's been really helpful. And I know that, I don't know, I kind of have like ADD, so I'm always thinking about five thoughts per minute. And with painting, I really just get into that space where I'm only thinking of like one thought, and it's very therapeutic and relaxing. So in a way, it's sort of like they say with Lyme disease, you should meditate all the time and just make sure you're really grounded. It's now like my way of feeling really grounded. And I know that when I'm really busy and I'm kind of focusing on the business side and I don't do that at least like twice a week, I can get kind of like anxious and it comes back. So it's actually been really therapeutic. And, you know, I love Frida Kahlo, like, and she, you know, had so much physical pain and so much, stuff that she went through, but she would paint portraits like in her bed with like, you know, back and brace surgeries and all this stuff. And she was just so dedicated to her craft that I was like, okay, if Frida can do it, I'm good. Like, I can just keep going with it. So, yeah.
Has it ever become something for you where it feels like, as you shift to it being more of a full-time, I mean, this is going to be my career, where it feels like a job where you're like, oh, I got to go paint today? Or is it always for you, at least right now, like, I'm excited to go do this?
Yeah. I mean, the painting has never been a problem. It's everything else that distracts me from painting is the problem. It's like, oh, I got to work on my website, or, oh, I got to do this. And so, you know, I'm really, really focusing these next few months on just painting more. And I think everything else will fall into place, but I don't see it ever being like a hassle for me.
Yeah. At all. It doesn't feel like a burden or a job. It's still joy.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Just a couple more questions that I have for you here. One is like, for you, you're building this art business. You're like, you know, where do you see 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, like you want to take your art and this business, and like, what would you like it to grow into someday?
Yeah, that's, I love that question. I would say I'd love to have a gallery, whether that's just, you know, a curated, some sort of like cool gallery experience that's not ever been done before. Maybe, you know, it's more digital, or maybe it incorporates more senses, or it's more, you know, immersive, like some sort of like experience thing has always been really appealing to me. I would love to get really into big paintings. Like, I went to the Contemporary Art Museum in LA, and oh my gosh, like just the vast size of the paintings is really powerful. And I think I'd love, yeah, I can't wait to get more into large paintings.
What's like the largest thing you've ever done?
I handmade in art school a like 8x5 foot painting. Ooh. And so that was a whole process.
Cause what was the medium?
You know, it was oil paint.
Oh, wow.
So probably really a lot of money too, but I was like, it's okay. The school is going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. And they, you know, they pay for all the materials. So it's like, why not just make a big painting? And it was super cool. So yeah, I think like, I actually need to text this chick back, because she really wants a portrait of Leonardo DiCaprio shirtless smoking a cigarette on the Venice boardwalk. And it's gonna be tricky because it's on a garage, so there's like the crease and stuff, but I was like, yeah. I'm so down, like, just sign me up. That sounds great.
Oh, so it's like a mural.
It's a mural, so yeah, that would be my first mural.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. It should be
shirtless
fun.
Leo smoking a cigar on Venice boardwalk. Yeah. I'll be excited to see that one. That, I'm very curious how that will come out.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Okay, my last question for you, and I've been doing this now for a couple of months. I've been trying to, you know, every podcast has their like last question that they, you know, drop in. I always end every show with just the sign off of stay weird. So my question for you is, what makes you weird?
I love that. So, I feel like there's so many things. I would say I like to paint on people, and sometimes they don't really want me to, but I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And I just like, I don't know why I have this like obsession with like painting on faces. So I think, you know, just doing that and like getting weird with materials, like cracking eggs and just being a goofball and like channeling my inner child. I'm always just like, you know, curious and like in the weeds and in the dirt of things, and just like always just trying to like remember that I was a weird kid. So obviously I'm still a weird kid, but I'm just, you know, an adult now.
An adult body. I like that. Okay. So Haley, if people want to support you, if they want to buy your art, if they want to follow along with what you're doing, where can the listeners of this show find you on the internet?
Yes. You can follow my Instagram on Honeybee Haley. It's H-A-I-L-E-Y. So that's my art Instagram. And right now I'm taking commissions and sales just by DMs. My website is in the works, coming soon.
Okay.
But yeah, follow me there.
Is a wrap on this week's episode of Destination Different. Thank you to Haley for coming on this week's show. We talked colors, we talked painting, we talked experimenting, we talked making pieces of art that look like vaginas. We really expand the gamut, and I'm so excited that she is diving headfirst into pursuing her career in art and painting, and I have zero doubts that she will be a smashing success, because she is crazy, 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 crazy talented. And so I'm just thankful to have had the chance to talk to her, talk about her art, and hear what she's up to. We
haven't chatted now in I don't know, probably a year, 2 years. And so it was great to just hear what she's doing. And I'm so excited that she's getting back into art, because she has a gift and I'm glad to see it getting used. So that's really all we got for this week. As I mentioned at the top, if you're not already following Destination Different over on TikTok, I highly recommend you check it out, because I'm doing some weird, silly shit over there, and I think it would be entertaining. I think it would be a miss on your part not to see what we're doing over on TikTok. That's it for this week. We'll be back again next Wednesday with another episode of Destination Different, another interview. And until then, until next Wednesday, I hope you stay weird.
We fell in love for just a couple hours. I can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's been missing. Often I'm misunderstood, so I'm looking for a better me. This is your love song, baby. I hope that you know the words.